I had made the decision in January to finally launch a community. And by the time I hit April, I was like second guessing myself. I was like, who cares about me? What change can I make in the world? You know, you have these thoughts.
I think in the world of investing, integrity is not just a moral compass, but it's really a strategic advantage that fosters long-term relationships and sustainable growth.
Wow. Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
What is the deep down inside Pace Morby purpose?
My purpose, a couple of things.
Welcome to Nursing Real Wealth. Today, I'm excited to introduce a dynamic entrepreneur and real estate investor. He began as a contractor, flipping over 1,000 homes annually for major iBuyer portfolios. Before switching gears to becoming an investor, amassing a rental portfolio of over 1,950 doors. He is the host of Triple Digit Flip on A&E, author of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Wealth Without Cash, and the founder of Sub2 and Gator, thriving real estate community with thousands of members. Pace Morby, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Justin. Let's freaking crank, bro.
Yeah, you bet. I want to get into three topics that I think are really important for investors: the importance of community, integrity, and purpose. And as I was getting into this, I did a little bit of research into you and found a really cool thread in your entrepreneurial journey that I'd love to share with you, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've experienced numerous successes and quote unquote setbacks, from founding your first company in oil and gas manufacturing in the early 2000s to co-opening a golf company, and then later AZ Contracting, which led to partnering with Zillow, Opendoor, and Offerpad. And all of these ventures were successful by most standards, and many would have envied your achievements at this point. But it wasn't until Eileen Brown came along and offered her wisdom that you gained a set of tools for future success. And I discovered what appeared to be kind of a pivotal moment in your journey while I was watching a podcast that you were on, when someone failed to pay you $1 million they owed and then declared bankruptcy. And this had a massive impact on AZ Contracting. Many would have viewed it as a setback, but could you just share how you came to the belief that this moment wasn't really a setback and in fact drove you to expand your community and become creative as an investor?
Yeah, this is back in 2018. I had been working for this particular guy. His name is John, for about 4 years. So I started working with him in 2014, roughly 10 years ago. And it was the same time that I actually got started in real estate. So I met Eileen Brown in 2013, 14, started doing creative finance deals, cash wholesaling deals, fix and flipping deals from that point all the way to 2018, while simultaneously running a massive construction company as well, working for Zillow, Opendoor, Offerpad. And you would think, dude, you figured out how to make a bunch of money in real estate. Why are you still running this construction company? And to kind of set people to a level of understanding of my mindset at the time, I believed in my construction company more than I believed in my real estate company. And here's why. Because I didn't believe in myself. I believed in my customers. I would essentially put all the belief of my future in the basket of my customers and my construction company, going, okay, well, you guys know what you're doing, and I'm just going to continue to do work for you. And essentially, for the rest of my life, respond to you building your business. That's essentially what I was doing as a contractor. Like, you guys go build your business, Opendoor, Offerpad, Zillow, tons of other localized fix and flippers as well. And I would react, right? You guys go create, I will react. And it was a comfortable position for me to be in. So even though I had figured out back in 2013 and 14, how to do creative finance and how to do fix and flips and how to do wholesaling, I freaking kept in my construction business 80% of my time because, again, I didn't believe in myself. And it wasn't until this guy in 2018 had racked up $1 million in debt with me, meaning he owed me money. And here's where the money came from. From 2014 to 2018, I took all my profits from my cash flowing rentals, my fix and flips, and my wholesale deals, and I poured it into his projects, because essentially what I was doing for this guy was also creative finance. His guy's name's John. His business model was fixing and flipping. And he would come to me and say, hey, I have jobs for you, but I don't have the money yet. Give me a couple of months. We'll get started on them. And I'm like, dude, I'll just front the cash for you. I've got this cash coming in from these wholesale deals. I'll front the cash for you on all of your fix and flips, and you can pay me when you sell the deals. Well, what ended up happening is I never put a lien or any security against any of these properties. This guy racked up all this debt with me and then goes, ooh, I know what I can do. I just filed bankruptcy on all the debt that Pace owes me. He filed bankruptcy to the tune of $16 million. And that was 2018. The letter I got was the day my daughter Corbin was born. And in that moment, I'm like, why is this happening to me? Why me? All I'm doing is working my guts out. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? And it wasn't until like 2 days after my daughter was born, I had no money. I had to put my daughter on an American Express, right? As I'm checking out of the hospital, I had to go through and put my daughter on an American Express. I didn't have the ability to pay for my own, the firstborn of my lineage. I couldn't even afford my first child. All my money was gone. It was zapped. Everything was done. And I had to sell all of my rentals that I had accumulated at that point, had to sell my primary home. Why? Well, because I didn't have the money to pay payroll anymore. This guy filed bankruptcy, right? He was essentially, what he was doing is I would do $100,000 of work. He would then pay me 90 grand. I'd do $100,000 of work. He'd pay me 87 grand. This just kept going and going and going. So it wasn't like I just kept pouring the money in. It was like there was hope of him paying me back every single week. And then one day, those weekly checks stopped coming in, and those weekly checks are what were paying my payroll. And even though he was shorting me, it was enough money to continue to pay my payroll. And he knew exactly what he was doing. And so I had to sell everything. I had to sell my rentals, my personal home, so I could continue to pay my payroll. But 2 days after my daughter was born, I woke up, didn't even tell my wife what was going on. I just said, this is my responsibility. I'm taking responsibility. And I watched this thing that Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins were talking about on a podcast. And they said, life doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. So I sat down and I wrote down, how could this experience be happening for me instead of happening to me? And I took a couple of hours and I wrote it down. And I wrote down, like, what are the lessons I could learn? What's the triumph I can get from this? I'm going to put a chip on my shoulder and go prove to the world that I'm the most creative person to get myself out of this situation. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it forced me to shut my construction company down. I paid all my guys. I paid my payroll. And it forced me to start from zero. I had nothing to lose, which is an amazing place to be. Like, you have nothing could happen to me, right? I had no, like right now, I have a lot to lose. I think I would argue today, it's harder today than it was when I was starting. People go, oh, you're so lucky. Really? You want to have $500 million in real estate in your portfolio and 600 employees? Or would you rather be starting from ground zero with nothing to lose? For me, all day long, it's way easier to start with nothing to lose and be able to take those risks and go, you know, balls to the wall. And that's what I did. I went crazy and I'm like, I'm going to be known as the most creative investor that got out of this situation. And I wrote it down that this thing happened for me, not happened to me. It was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, was losing that $1 million.
That's awesome. I know on my own journey into this space here, I've asked a lot of how questions, right? or a lot of what questions, you know, what CRM do I use? How do I do this? How do I do that? And the more I've delved deeper into this and the more I've been involved in our community, the more I realize the crucial importance of prioritizing who questions, who can I serve, who knows what I lack. And I'm wondering how have you experienced the positive impact of prioritizing who over how and what? And what would you say to investors who haven't wrapped their heads around this concept yet?
At the time, okay, I had already been doing deals, right, for 4 years prior to this catastrophic event. And I had already been prioritizing who at the time. And here's how I was prioritizing who. Who is Bethany Willis, who got me started in real estate? Okay, the way that this actually started is, a lot of people don't know the full story. I'll give it 30 seconds. Bethany Willis taught me how to get my first deal. She taught me how to generate leads and she walked me through my first deal, right? I didn't know how to comp. I didn't know how to fill out paperwork. I didn't know how to generate leads. I didn't know what to buy the property for. And I also, more importantly, when I got the property under contract, I didn't know who was going to buy it. Bethany Willis literally took care of all of those things. It was not a how. Not one time was it a how. It was a who the entire time. And so I look at that, I'm like, oh, damn, that's like the secret of the universe. That was 2013, 14. Then I meet Eileen Brown, who is an escrow officer at this point, 41 years in the business. She looked at all the leads I was generating. She's like, okay, cool. You did 3 contracts in your first month and made $50,000. That's pretty impressive. But dude, what are you doing with all those other leads? And she then showed me what to do with every single lead that was not a good lead, like too much, you know, seller wanted too much money. Seller had no equity. Seller wanted something, some situation going on. There was a lien against the property, whatever it was, the who that gave me all that information. It wasn't a book. It wasn't a seminar. It wasn't, you know, any of those things, YouTube video. It was somebody walking me through all of it, whiteboarding it and giving me real-time data. Then the next who was Jamil Damji. Mm. And here's what was amazing. And still to this day, I hold true. I don't have a disposition department in my business. I've never wanted one, because in the wholesale world, their disposition and acquisition are two completely different sides to the coin. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, okay, I'm trying to do both. Dude, I never tried to do both. I said, where can I make the most money using my personality? And then who can I leverage to take the things off my plate that I don't want to do? And disposition was one of those things from the very beginning. I just told Jamil, I said, if I can do, you know, enough deals with you, I know the first couple of deals you want to go 50-50. I go get the house under contract for, let's say, 200,000. You sell it for 225. We split the $25,000 profit. You get 12.5. I get 12.5. However, I have a lot more costs associated with this thing. So if I can give you a certain amount of deals every single month and I can guarantee that, why don't we do a flat fee where you do $3,000 per deal and I get to keep the rest. And for the first 4 years of my business, Jamil Damji sold 99% of all my deals. And guess what I got to do? I got to focus on being so damn good at acquisitions. And I never had to worry about dispositions whatsoever. And so when this then fast forward 4 years later, this catastrophic event happened with John and I lost everything. And I had to basically just go, I'm going full-time in real estate. Guess what? I already had the roadmap. I already had the pieces. Why? Because I had all the who's. I had Bethany Willis. I had Eileen Brown. I had Jamil Damji. All I had to do was keep doing what I was doing and rely on these other three people. They essentially were my power team. And that kept going on for a while. And then I knew that was the answer. So as I built my rental portfolio up, instead of, let's say, for example, I get this mobile home park under contract or I buy it like 4 years ago. This is 2020. And I remember at the time, I'm like, wow, this mobile home park is going to net me $7,500 a month. Like, this is amazing. This is a job killer, as I call them. They're a job killer, which means like the average person could quit their job off this one asset, right? Well, I turned around. I said, no. This can't be a job killer. This needs to be a job creator. Who do I need to hire with that $7,500? And so I then started looking at every asset that I buy is a new who that I need to acquire on my team. And so I very rarely actually take cash flow from my properties. I let the cash flow pay for my team. So like Molly Tennant, Jade Jarvis, you know, all these amazing people I have, Bo, those people get paid out of the cash flow of my properties. And I'm always like, who's the next person I need to acquire? Okay, great. What's that going to cost me? Perfect. I'm going to go find an asset that will produce that much income to then hire the who that I need in my team. And dude, I mean, you've known my team. You see them, right? You're part of the community. Mm-hmm. I'm in your community just as much as you're in my community. And you see my gangster team. Every one of those people is a who that I'm like, I'm never going to build this on my own. In fact, I know the 3 skills I have and the 90 skills I don't have, I'm going to bring the who's to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, that's amazing. How did you discern, you know, when to go and add someone to your team? Like, did you have somebody that also gave you insight, or was it just a matter of recognizing your own lack of skill in a specific area? And you're like, man, I need somebody to fill this gap. How did you know when to go and bring them on?
Okay. So this is a great, this was a great one. I just hired two people this last couple of days. Okay. Off Instagram stories. And so I do this frequently. I'll throw spaghetti at the wall, as I like to call it. I used to be deathly afraid of this because like hiring people is a big burden to a lot of people. Like, oh my gosh, now I have a payroll. I'm responsible for this person's life. This person's making decisions based on me and they're believing in me. Like I get all that. And so I just learned, like, I'm just going to give people upfront expectations. Like, hey, this might not work out in 30 days. Let's try this, right? Are you okay trying this out with me for 30 days? So for example, when I work out in the mornings, I have a whiteboard next to where I work out. It's a big whiteboard. It's like 16 feet long. And I write between sets, I'll have ideas. It could be a t-shirt idea. It could be a meetup idea. It could be a whatever idea. I write them down because when I'm working out, my brain goes stupid and it then lets me get into like a flow state of ideas. Kind of like getting in the shower where the water hitting your back slows your brain down a little bit so you can start actually focusing on just thinking. And I get into like a Zen state and I go and I start writing things down. 3 days later or 3 days ago, I'm like, dude, you know what I have in my life right now? I keep telling my wife I'm going to hang the TV. I keep telling my wife I'm going to do this. I've got oil changes that need to be done on the car. I need somebody to drive my van up to Montana and then fly back. I don't have time to do that. And I'm like, what am I doing? I know the solution to everything is a who. So I write down, I say, I need a gopher, right? People that don't know what a gopher is, like somebody goes for this and goes for that. We call them gophers, right? Like a handyman slash assistant slash just like an errand boy, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this out for 30 days. I'm going to allocate like $3,000 to see if I can find somebody that wants to come in and do these jobs first part of the day. And then I'll teach them real estate 2 hours in the evening. I'll put them in my real estate business so they can get like a real estate education, simultaneously make a living doing all the things that I don't want to do. And dude, like literally 17 minutes later, this kid is at, somebody's at my house from my Instagram post. Hey dude, I'm here. And I go, great. Here's all the things I need done today. If you do a good job today, I'll keep you on. Right. And then, so that's one guy. I just come up with an idea of things that are the things I keep lying to myself that I'm going to get done. And I just look at them. I go, okay, everybody in the audience right now, you have those things, write them down and go, if I had somebody at $3,000 a month, could I not make $5,000 a month? If that person was taking these things off my plate, you know, those types of things. Same thing with car washing, dude. Like I have 7 cars. I know that sounds stupid. There was a point in my life I had one, but I have 7 cars, a Prius, a Raptor, an F-350, you know, nothing like overly fancy, but I have a lot of cars based on what I'm doing that day. My wife has a car, my son has a car, all that kind of stuff. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, how much time do I spend cleaning these cars? Because I love it. I'm a blue collar dude. I love getting in the wheel wells. I love getting in the rims. I love getting everything clean and stepping back and going, I did that. Well, shit, I did that for 39 years of my life, right? Or at least 23. Since I turned 16, I took so much pride in my car. Like you look at a car that I've owned for 10 years, you go, that thing looks brand new. I just woke up one day, probably a year ago, and I was in my workout and I'm like, how much time am I spending on stupid things that don't make me money? I either should be doing those and I should stop doing those completely, hire somebody to do those, or like I said, don't do them at all and just go sit on my butt and just watch TV. Like they're not doing me any good versus like any sort of anything else. So I hire a company. They charge me $75 a car per week to come in, clean the car, do the thing, fill the gas. They go and do all the things they fill the gas, bro. Like they come in, they fill the gas, they clean the things. And I look at that and I go, how many hours a week, how many hours a month am I saving from that? They cost me probably $1,500 a month to do all of that. And it seems like a lot of money, but you know what 1 hour of my time is worth? 1 hour of my time is worth $36,000 currently. If I put 1 hour into my business, I can generate $36,000 in revenue. So 1 hour of my time is $36,000. So I just start throwing spaghetti at the wall and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I hired another person yesterday. I go, dude, I want to show the community how to make these calls, but I don't have the time to do it. So I went and found somebody who has 5 years of experience of doing outbound calls of a specific type. We don't need to get into it, but I'm going to start. I hired this girl. I go, don't quit your job. Stay at your job. I just know you have all this experience. Can I pay you $1,000 a month to make 1 hour call every single day for the community live? And this is going to get into the community aspect, but she goes, really? You'll do this? I go, yeah, but it might not work out in 30 days. So let's just test it out for 30 days. So I take all that burden and that stress off of myself and give them this expectation of like, hey, if we can do these things and there's revenue that comes from this, then I not only can keep you, but I can amplify you and I can give you more. Are we on the same goal? Are we on the same mission that your goal is to generate more revenue than what you cost? Yes. Okay. In 30 days, if you don't, I'm just going to consider this $1,000 loss and you're going to consider this a fun time that we got to hang out with each other for 30 days. That expectation up front takes all the burden off and allows me to gamble a little bit to hire people. And I wish I knew that 15 years ago. I wish I knew how to give that upfront conversation with people, because I would have been hiring the who's way faster 15 years ago.
Wow. That's cool. I know that you often say, for Sub 2 Gator and Top Tier TC, you started those communities just as much for yourself as you did for anybody else. And I know that you receive a lot of benefit from those communities as well, but what are some commonly overlooked opportunities within the community that others are likely not taking full advantage of?
There are thousands of people in our community that make a full-time living by doing nothing but JV deals inside of the community. And one of the most genius things that I've ever done in my life, and yes, I am a genius. I know I'm a genius. How do I know that? Because I hang out with other people that think they're geniuses, but they keep asking me how I'm doing what I'm doing, right? I feel like Kanye sometimes where I'm like, y'all just don't see what I see, right? One of the most genius things I ever did was look at the real estate industry as a series of avatars. And I looked at everybody and go, you know, everybody's going to the RIA listening to the speaker as if that speaker is important to all of them. It's not. That speaker probably benefits 7 of the people in this room, because that speaker is talking about the thing that those 7 people should be doing based on their personality, their socioeconomic background, their mindset, their financial situation, like all of these things. And so I sat down about 7 years ago and I started crafting them, and I came up with like 7. But the more the community has grown, I've come up with, now we're at 22. And when I basically split up the community in the sense of we have 22 different avatars, what it did is it gave everybody permission to go, this avatar finds the deals. My avatar buys the deals. My avatar funds the deals. My avatar runs the paperwork on those deals. And you now have this collective community that 12 people a lot of times are working on the same transaction and making money from each other. There's people that are contractors that join the Sub 2 community just to get work from Sub 2 community members, because we are doing so many transactions. And so the craziest thing is there are people that go into the community and go, I just want to be a buyer. I don't want to go into bigger pockets and hear about how I should be finding a deal. I'm just going to join Sub 2 and I'm just going to buy deals from other people, right? Depending on your avatar, depending on who you are and what you're trying to accomplish, we have an avatar that you could do full-time just literally by being inside the community. You don't have to go outside the community. I'll give you a good example. Eric Ballman, my camera guy. He has been with me now 2 years, 4 months. He was a bartender before he came and worked for me. I had to beg this kid to come and work with me. I'm like, bro, you've been a bartender for 11 years. What do you have to lose? Like, is something going to magically change next year at your bartending job? Come and work for me. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about video work. I'm like, look, dude, you know how to do photography. I can teach you the video work, and you're a solid dude that knows what good looks like. That's all I care about. I convince him to do a 30-day thing with me, just like I talked to you about a couple minutes ago. I go, just try me out for 30 days. If success doesn't hit these marks, then you just stay a bartender. And I'll let you work, you know, on weekends and whatever else, so you don't have to quit your bartending job. Comes on board, loves it. Within 2 weeks of the 30-day test, he's like, I want to come full-time. This is the greatest thing ever. Cool. Well, here's the challenge. He didn't do anything for 1.5 years. Meaning, you are behind the camera of everything I say and everything I do. I mean, he's on appointments with me. He's on assets with me. He's traveling the country and seeing the things I'm doing. What, bro, people pay 25 grand to a charity to spend a day with me. This guy spent 1.5 years with me without doing shit. Okay. Finally, he's just like, dude, so many people at these meetups that we're going to are asking me if I'm doing deals too. And I feel bad saying no, like, what should I do? I'm like, finally, can I give you a roadmap? And he goes, yes. I go, here's the roadmap. Go into the community and start telling people you want to do X, Y, and Z, and please connect with me. And in 4 months, he did 19 deals, made like $80,000 just doing JV deals inside the community. So one thing that I would say that I wish everybody else would be doing is spend, if you did this one thing, right, for people inside of our community, you went and you connected with 2 new students every day for 30 days, and you had 60 new connections in that 30-day stint, there's no possible way you would not make money in that 30-day. Well, Pace, how? Tell me the steps. Bro, you connect with the first 5 people, there's going to be one person that's like, oh, hey, Pace, nice to meet you. Let's do a 15-minute Zoom. Cool, you get on the Zoom. What are you doing in your business? They go, oh, dude, I'm knocking doors. I'm doing one deal a week. What? Great, where are you knocking doors? I'm knocking doors in Detroit. Perfect. I don't do Detroit, but that's freaking awesome. Do you need buyers? Yes, I do need buyers. Perfect. I'm not a buyer, but if I brought you a buyer, would you be cool with that? Yes. Okay. 2 weeks later, you're on another thing. You're connecting with another student. They're like, I'm in Detroit. All I want to do is just fix and flip. Perfect. Are you ready for a project right now? Oh my gosh. Now, boom, connection. You know the 2 people that don't know each other. Like literally, there's people that make a full-time, we call them connectors, full-time income, just connecting people. And you would think, oh, well, doesn't everybody in the community know each other? No, we're all in 50 different states. We all have different things that we're trying to accomplish. Even last night, there's 2 students in Sub 2 Family Night that have been in the community for 2 years that have never met each other. And they're like both big, significant leaders. One's Luciano and the other one is Sub 2 Drew in Houston. They've never talked to each other. So connecting people inside the community, if you're like, I have no money, but I have an hour a day, you find 2 to 3 new connections every day and you document what they have and what they need. By the end of 30 days, if you haven't made money, then you didn't do the work. That's it. It's physically impossible for you not to make money.
In my own networking, I've found quite a few folks who have seen the same value of our combined communities. And I actually compiled a video for you of all these people who want to speak about their gratitude for the community and to you. So I got a little surprise for you.
Oh, wow.
Pace, wanted to say a quick thank you to everything you do for the community. You've been a huge influence in my life, and I'm super, super grateful for all the knowledge that you've dropped. You've been an incredible mentor. You helped me when I was super, super young and 18. You're helping me now when I'm 20, and I'm excited to see what we do together, you know, when I'm 25, 30, 45, whatever the case may be. I'm excited to see you keep growing and keep growing alongside with you. Thanks, Pace.
What's happening, my guy? I wanted to send a video of thanks for the community that you've created. Sub 2, top tier, and Gator. It's just nothing short of amazing. I don't think I would be where I'm at today in 2024.
This is my message of gratitude to Pace Morby for creating such an amazing community where I've made instant friends and get to obsess about real estate. With like-minded people and grow and encouraging and friendly and fun environment. Thank you.
Hey, Pace. This is Kevin and Jennifer Wynn. We're so excited to continue to be in your awesome community. We wanted to continue to say thank you for providing us with the continuous content, the bonuses, especially like the upcoming semesters. We're so excited to go through that, continue to learn and educate ourselves, and to continue to grow along with others in your wonderful community that supports everyone. We're excited. Hope to see everyone at Squad Up Summit and hope everyone continues to crush it.
My name is Matt Farrell, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for doing everything that you do. I'm so very grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this community. I've met so many great people like Justin Barber, and have done some wonderful deals with others. 2 PMLs and 2 connecting deals only within a short time of about 4 months in the community. Thank you so much.
Pace, I told you this before. As a business owner, I have been searching for so many answers in the last 18 years or so, and joining Sub 2 answered most of them. And Looking at you, following your path, helped me out to understand many aspects in businesses. So thank you for creating the best community in this planet and for being used to change people's life.
A year ago, I was trying to make ends meet working a 9-to-5 and delivering food as a side hustle. I joined Gator back in June and I just really leaned into the community. So far, I've made over 6 figures and I'm going to be close to making 6 figures per month just as a connector, which I realized is my avatar. This community is so positive and strong. It's changed my life, honestly. So I just want to say thank you so much, Pace.
I am here just under 1 year into Gator, and it has totally changed my life, my family's life, and a lot of people that I work with. I got in with expectations of maybe doing a couple deals, meeting some good people, trying to figure out how to get into real estate. I've connected with good, honest, high integrity people that I work with on a daily basis now. And we're coming up on possibly looking at leaving my W-2 within the next year.
I started off with Gator in September, and it's only been 4 months, and I've made 6 deals. I have a private money partnership with Andrew Arriaga and Brad, and it has been going amazing. I went from healthcare to real estate, and I never thought that that would actually be possible. Thank you, Pace.
Hey guys, this is Eric Fuller. I have been a member of the Gator Method since December of 2022, and a few months later, a part of Sub 2. I am very grateful for both of those groups, for what Pace has created for the community. Previously, I was a teaching professor at biomedical engineering at the University of Florida. What I really wanted is just the freedom to be able to go and be with your family more. So I jumped all the way in, and that's what I'm doing full time now. It's what allows me to travel with my wife and kids.
Today, I'm taking this opportunity to thank you, Pace. To thank you from the bottom of my heart for building this amazing community, for being a go-giver, and for pouring into our hearts every single day. My life has changed completely, 180 degrees change, and I'm profoundly grateful for you.
Pace, thank you so much. You know, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say that you've helped me a ton grow as an investor, grow as an action taker.
I would say that the Gator community and the Sub 2 community has been really life-changing for me, in that it's given me a network of friends and investors and partners all over the country. And I attribute that mostly to the go-giver mentality a lot of folks in this community share. And so it's allowed me to also mirror that effort and that energy and give back. So I just wanted to say thanks for creating such a lively and really heartfelt community, a heart-driven community.
The Sub 2 community has just been a super, super impactful group. I've learned how to make money in real estate. I've been doing this for 8 years, and I learned different things inside of Sub 2 about creative finance and even the ability to loan money and be a Gator lender that I would never have learned outside of the community.
Thank you for sharing your time and knowledge with us. Thank you for creating your communities. I have done 8 deals since last September, and I left my W-2 last year. And I'm happy to say that I am on track to make more in 2024 than I was making in my W-2.
Hey, Pace, I just wanted to thank you for creating this opportunity for us to have a community that is so welcoming. And it's an environment that really allows us to collaborate and thrive as we're meant to be.
Hey, Pace, how's it going? It's Zoe. Just wanted to drop a little, you know, a little note and say thank you, first and foremost, for all that you do and that you've done, for being creative, thinking outside the box, just marketing and branding yourself and also the community, giving us an opportunity to ride your coattails. And I love the fact that you dreamt so big, and by doing so, you allowed us to enjoy all your success.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to Justin for putting together people from the communities and just really talk about how the communities have impacted all of us. We just had a new baby come into our family, so trying to juggle out scheduling and, you know, trying to figure out business every day is something brand new. But it's great to have a community, to have support, to be able to keep doing what we need to do to get our goals. Thank you, Pace, and thank you, everybody in the community.
Pace, thank you so much. Thanks, Justin, for doing this too, bro. Man, our lives have been forever changed, Pace. We love you so much, man. From that first time I met you, I knew that you were the real deal back in New Orleans early last year. I got to share my story. Now I get to share this my story with the world, bro. I'm writing a book. I mean, I'm doing all kinds of cool stuff. I get to pour into other people, and that turns into a paycheck. And I get to connect and squat up and help people every single day of my life, bro. I've never felt more grateful in my life or more just dialed in on a craft. Like, I really feel like it's God's calling. I'm super, super grateful for you, to you and everybody in the community, man. We're going up, up, up to the top, baby. Love you.
Hey, Pace. Thank you so much again for everything that you've been doing. The go-giver you are, just the amount of love that, you know, I see from you, that you give to your family, to your friends, to the community, to everybody. And you've made such a huge impact to myself and my family. I made so many friends in this community that I've never thought I'll make in my life.
Pace Morby, where do I even start, man? Look, you have done so much for my business. I started in the Marine Corps, 8 years active duty, transitioned to wholesale, realized I had a yearning for creative, stumbled upon you and all the information that you give. You just give. So much value, man. And I just started just diving deeper and deeper and deeper in what you had to offer. I joined the community. Then I started my own business called Buyer Beater. We are innovations based. Now I'm controlling about 19 deals currently, done over $1 million. And it's all because you started providing that kind of value, man. So I appreciate it. Thank you. My entire team thanks you. And I look forward for us to become friends one day, man.
After the day that I actually joined Gator and I met Pace here in Orlando, I started to connect with so many people. I cannot thank you, Pace, enough for the community that he created, because he actually gave me the possibility to spend more time with my kids. And now I can enjoy more time with my kids. Oh. Thank you very much, Pace, for everything. We love you. It's up to you.
Dude, I got to have that video. That's so good. Thank you.
You bet.
Bro. The amount of time you put into that is so appreciated. I emotional over it, dude. Like, if you knew 4 years ago, this month in March, April, going to April now, I had made the decision in January to finally launch a community. And by the time I hit April, I was like second guessing myself. I was like, who cares about me? What change can I make in the world? And, you know, you have these thoughts. And it was, again, a who. Somebody came along, my business partner, Josiah, he came along and was like, I will make sure that your vision comes to light. It might take us 5 years, 6 years, 7 years to do it. But I promise you, you run, I will make sure everything's taken care of. And dude, you look at that. Like, Justin, you've become friends with all those people. People are shouting you out. Like, think about how cool that is, that there was a moment in my life that I doubted myself in the sense of, like, I would have robbed all of us from all these relationships if I didn't believe in myself. And thank you, dude. Send me that video. I'm going to play that in my gym. I'm going to play that in my foyer in my office when people walk in. I want people to see, and I want, more importantly, I want my team members to see what they get to do on a daily basis. And, you know, right now we have the TV show, the A&E TV show that plays in the foyer when people walk in. I want to take that off and put this on there instead, so all 300 employees see that when they walk in every day.
I love it.
Thank you, dude. Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. You're welcome. Needs to be said, you know, you've spoken a lot about the fact that in the community, there's a lot of, you know, we tend to hear the negative stories and, we all know that there are things that go bad, deals go bad, that happens. That's life. That's part of this game to a certain extent. But there's so much good as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like people, I had somebody email me this morning and they go, Pace, I just lost all my money on a fix and flip. I'm like, okay, what did you do wrong? Right. That was my response. I was like, what'd you do wrong? And they're like, oh, great question. And then instead of them writing me an email and saying, I did this, and therefore I lost money, their first thought was, this deal went bad and I lost money. It's like, no, what did you do wrong? What can you learn from this? They paid their contractor 100% of the budget up front. They used a contractor they didn't vet. You know, these kind of things, like, they are going to happen in real estate. And the sad thing is that people will talk about that 10 times more than they'll talk about the fact that, you know, like Colin Yep, I've been talking about this the last couple of months, had done 19 deals and never made a single positive post about those 19 deals. Yet everybody that has a negative situation happen on a fix and flip or a tenant that screws them over, a flood happens, that people want to talk about that, but they'll never post in the Facebook group about their wins. So it's interesting. A dynamic and how human brain works. And hopefully we can solve that in our community to make sure it's the opposite. But thank you for that video, dude. You just made my whole day.
Love it. Glad I could do that for you. I want to shift gears a little bit and head into this topic of integrity. But before we get into discussing its importance in the world of investing, I want to make sure there's a really clear definition from where we're starting. And I find that a lot of modern definitions, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like a lot of modern definitions don't go to the depth of what a word originally meant and don't gain that full perspective. If you go and look up integrity, you'll see it, you know, like a modern definition will be like, oh, honesty, you know, trustworthiness. But, you know, integrity comes from a Latin word called integritas, which means wholeness or completeness. And today, even now, nurses use this word constantly for the same meaning. And, you know, when we're describing, say, the state of a patient with a wound, we would say that the integrity of the patient's skin is compromised. And so similarly, in the context of a person's character, integrity doesn't just mean honesty and trustworthiness. It means that wholeness of the full moral character. And I love Noah Webster's 1828 definition, because he says integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness in mutual dealings, transfers of property and agencies for others. So even in the deeper definition of integrity, it specifically speaks to not just the moral character, but its place in transfers of property, which is freaking real estate.
Yeah, I love that, dude. That's freaking great.
How do you personally define integrity in the context of real estate?
Mm.
And how has this definition influenced your approach to business?
Integrity in real estate is doing what you say you're going to do and also doing what is right for the client and doing what's right for the JV client, even if it takes money out of your pocket. And I think that that's one of the hardest things to do is going from, you know, a place where you go, I have no money, but now I'm doing a JV deal where we're both going to make 10 grand. And the person that brought the deal to me, let's say hypothetically, this has happened to me a couple of times. They brought the deal to me. They trust me to get the deal all the way done. And because of either A, something that happened on my side where my team fumbled something or the title company I chose, screwed something up or maybe something that was overlooked, causes us not to make 20 grand, it causes us to make 15 grand. So instead of me going back to my JV partner going, hey, you know, we didn't make 20 grand like we originally thought, we're going to make 15. So you get 7,500, I get 7,500. The way that I operate is I take full responsibility and I go, look, I'll take the five, you keep the 10, and let's just go do more deals together, right? I'll make it up on the next one type of thing. That is how I choose to operate because I am investing and planting seeds in future dealings. I never originally meant it to be that way, but it has shown up where you plant these seeds of integrity and taking responsibility, even when it doesn't benefit you, particularly integrity. There is no such thing as integrity if something's not morally challenging to you, right? There's nothing to be integral about because you're both making money, right? But when something bad happens, taking responsibility, even the title company, there's been times where I'm doing a deal with somebody and go, oh yeah, the title company screwed it up. I'm like, but you chose the title company. Like, where's the accountability, right? So in real estate dealings, it's always taking responsibility for your part of the process and rewarding the other people more than you reward yourself, and don't have your hand out all the time, open-handed. Have both hands out giving to people as much as you possibly can. And I did that from a place that the way my mom taught me, the way my parents taught me, that's how you do it. But then what happens is a couple of years later, people ask you, how are you doing so many deals? And I go, oh, I don't know. Let me go to what my pipeline looks like. And I look at my pipeline and like 40% of what I'm doing comes from other people that I treated with integrity, and I was integral and did the things that I didn't necessarily want financially to happen to me, but I knew I could sleep at night. And that's where 40% of my deals come from, is repeat business from people I've treated properly.
Yeah. I know just the other day I saw a post from Michael Frank.
Yeah, Michael Frank has the foreclosure situation.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal example of integrity, where he made a promise to a seller who's in trouble to go and buy the house, already put it under contract and everything, and now finds out there's actually more tied to the deal. But because he'd already made this promise to this seller and they're in desperate need, you know, he's going to go through, but it probably isn't going to make him as much money, or he might just break even.
Yeah.
You know,
but and, there's a but here, and this is where like strategy comes into play, right? Where like, this is where a lot of people miss the boat, and the boat they're missing is that Michael Frankie, he's been in the community almost 4 years. So he and I DM all the time, text all the time. And for 2 years, I was like, bro, get your brand going. Start talking about what you're doing. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. He's like, I will, I will, I will. Finally, I was like, this is probably 8 months ago. I sent him a text and I go, we are not friends until you get your YouTube channel up and going. We are not friends until you get your Instagram up and going. Start taking this as a responsibility. And he's like, why? And I go, because you're doing so many amazing things, but you're not talking about it. Yeah, but God told me to be humble. No, he did not. And here's the other thing. Humility, doesn't humility have to do with somebody gave you a gift? You should utilize that gift instead of thinking you're too good for it. And that's also a version of humility. And so God gave you a gift. He gave you an opportunity, gave you a pathway to focus on these niche lists of foreclosures and door knocking. Shouldn't you be utilizing that gift to compound your success for your employees that are all relying on you by talking about it on social media? And he's like, okay, be more specific. So like, let's talk about strategy. People that are like, hey, I like the mindset stuff, but tell me strategy-wise, how does this work? Michael Frankie utilized integrity, was in a bad situation where a foreclosure happens. I'm sorry, it's about to happen. He tells the seller, I'll save your butt. I'll save your butt. I'll save your butt. Let's get under contract. He promises the seller a certain dollar amount and that he's going to buy the property. They open escrow after they get the contract, find out there's a bunch of stuff happening on the property that nobody anticipated, even the seller. Nobody lied to Michael. Michael didn't know. And he goes, I could walk away from this legally. Legally, I could walk away from this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to help this seller out. Okay, cool. That was pretty awesome. He helped that seller. If he doesn't talk about it on social media, he doesn't have a compound effect from that thing that he did. And that's where the strategy comes in, is you go, I'm going to treat people properly and I'm going to talk about how I treat people properly. Why is that beneficial? Well, because it attracts other people to do business with you, because they go, dude, I see how you operated. That's cool. And now here we are talking about it 3 or 4 days later, right? Then the other thing is, when he goes to another seller, let's say in a month from now, and that seller says, I don't know, I'm talking to 5 other people. Why should I choose you? Michael can very easily say, don't talk to me, or don't ask me that question. Why don't you ask the seller that I just saved from foreclosure, even when it didn't benefit me? Then you tell me why you should use me over another wholesaler. That is where strategy comes in and morals can mix with each other and create an atomic bomb of benefit for everybody. And the reality is that seller should be working with Michael Frankie, not with the other wholesalers. And it's Michael's duty to document what he's doing and build a relationship, not only with the seller, but also with himself in social media to compound that story so that he has a duty to show that seller, the future seller, that they should do business with him, which then benefits his employee. So it's smart. It's really smart.
That's so funny. You literally just took the next line that I had as a note to myself. I said, I wrote this down to myself. I said, I think in the world of investing, integrity is not just a moral compass, but it's really a strategic advantage that fosters long-term relationships and sustainable growth.
Wow. Yeah, you said it way more articulately than I did, but yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the humility with which he actually shares these kinds of stories. And I do think there is a natural tendency if somebody is coming from, I'm a Christian as well, and it's natural to hear, you know, the scripture tell you to go and be humble and kind of take that to the next level that it wasn't intended to be. You still see Paul the Apostle all throughout the New Testament telling people to go and be like him. Well, how do you know to be like him if you don't hear what he does?
Oh, so good. I tell this to people all the time. Jesus did not tell people, hey, here's the gospel, but don't share it with anybody. That's not what he did. He's like, go forth and tell everybody. Go forth and share. Go forth and share. Go forth and share. And I really like that how you just said that. How can you become like him if he doesn't talk about it? So good, yeah. Bro.
And people need to hear how you should behave in a transaction like that from somebody who's doing it appropriately. And it does come down to how you're going to share it, right? I mean, he could go and, you know, strut his stuff, but he doesn't do that in this video. And he just shares, here's an example of doing something. I have a conundrum I have to deal with. This is the decision I'm making, and here's why. And I'm going to encourage you guys to also operate that way, right? That's a good way to share your story. So I think he shared it with absolute humility.
Yeah, I love it.
So I think it's great. My mom and dad also taught me, and I'm assuming this is probably something that was infused in you too, to deliver on your word. And a lot of it came from, you know, time studying the Bible. I know you talk about that a lot. You were raised Mormon and your parents would start the morning with the Bible. And I have to believe that a good component of your definition of integrity comes from those moments. But, you know, for me, I think reliable delivery on modest promises way outweighs grand promises that are never fulfilled, you know?
Right. 100%.
So we got to, you know, be careful what we promise, because you could find yourself consistently getting into situations that are not good. But to make modest promises, and when you do promise, even if it's, you know, my dad used to say this, he's like, it's not that you shouldn't promise, but he said, be really careful what you promise, because the Bible says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and keepeth not to him it is sin, right? So if you swear to do something and then it hurts you and you decide not to do it, it's sin. It's a wrong thing to do. And so he's like, even if it hurts you, you got to do it if you promise it.
Yes.
So be careful what you promise.
Bro, yeah, great preparation for today. I love the lines. I love the delivery. Great questions. This has been a blast, man. So fun.
Cool. Well, moving on, I want to get into purpose before we close. And, you know, I've heard Ryan Pineda say this on several occasions. In anything that you want to accomplish, the purpose has to exceed the cost. And so, first of all, I would love to get your perspective on that statement. And then I would love to get into and discuss your favorite quote, which I think really emphasizes this idea a lot more, from George Bernard Shaw.
Yeah, my perspective on that, my viewpoint on what Ryan's saying is 100% true. The purpose needs to outweigh the cost. There's a lot of times where my team will say something that's like, well, that cost, and I have to cut them off. I go, it doesn't matter what it costs. It needs to be done. It's part of our purpose. It's part of what our mission is and what we're trying to accomplish. please don't bring money into this. Right now, of course, if the bank account has no money in it, right, you got to figure out how to put money in the bank account, right? You got to go do other things that create value, that create, you know, monetization, whatever. But when there's money in the bank account, you'll still get a CFO or somebody go, we got to watch the bottom line. I'm like, no, you watch the front line is what I watch. And my CFO, when I first told him, I go, what do you mean? I go, the front line is our customer. The front line is our community. The front line are the people that we actually interact with toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose. That's the front line. You take care of the front line before you take care of the bottom line. And the bottom line will take care of itself as long as you take care of that front line. And so my CFO had to write down the word front line because he'd never heard it before. And I told him that's the purpose and that's the mission. And it should cost, you know, what should it cost? Everything. Empty the bank account. If that's the mission, empty the freaking bank account. Stop having safety nets. You can't have a safety net when you have a mission. And one day you wake up, this is 5-6 years ago, all of a sudden we got more money in the bank account than the mission costs. And it flips and it's amazing. And people show up and they see the thing that you're trying to do. And you say you're going to do something, you do it. And you do it long enough in a row consistently that people go, you are old faithful, dude. You are reliable. I can believe in you. You are a rock, a foundation that I can mount my estate on. And that's all I've been trying. That's all we've been trying to do is how can we be the solid rock foundation that you can anchor your estate into? You know, something that is reliable that when the rains come, I'm still here. I'm not washing out.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we get into your statement. What is the deep down inside Pace Morby purpose? What is your primary chief purpose?
My purpose, couple of things. Used to be when I had a smaller vision, it was my wife, my kids. How do I take care of them financially? And then somebody about 15 years ago goes, that's really, that's it? Like you should have taken care of your wife and kids as step one, like brushing your teeth and breathing, you know, putting air in your oxygen in your lungs. Is that part of your mission? I go, no. And he goes, that's standard, bro. You can't say that as that's your why. And that put a lot, that changed my perspective because a lot of people say, well, my kids are my why. It's like, no, that's standard, bro. Like if that's not your standard makeup of who you are, like you had to make up a why to take care of those people. I'm like, oh dang, man. Cause I hear so many people go, oh, my kids are my why. It's like, no, that's like breathing, brushing your teeth, putting your shoes on when you walk out the door. That's standard. Boxes checked, right? That's your duty. That's your responsibility. What's the thing that drives you should be larger than that. And some people would argue, well, your family and your kids should be your largest driver. They are. That's why they're standard. That's why when I wake up, they are standard makeup of what I do. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the things I'm driven to do that I have not done yet? So I would say my biggest purpose, my biggest mission is the amount of mouths that feed every day off of my good decisions. And what do I mean by that? I have 600 employees. Those 600 employees receive a paycheck every 2 weeks. Those paychecks feed an average of 4 people per paycheck. So that's 2,400 people. 3 meals a day is 7,200 meals a day are fed because of good decisions and hard work I put forth and my team puts forth. And I want that number to be 100,000 people one day, or meals one day. If I look at the community, and I look at what we've all created in the community, I think we all have probably amplified that to a whole other level of maybe 100,000 people a day are feeding off of the real estate transactions and the deals we're all doing. And that's something that I look at and I go, that's the mission. The mission is to grow this thing and create the most connected, most loving, most go-giving network of all time that all feeds so many mouths on a daily basis based on all of our good decisions.
I love that. I was searching for the name of somebody that Ryan Pineda had on his stage. I'm not going to find it and pull it up. I wanted to give credit to his name for what he said, but he actually has a KPI in his company that he tracks called Lives Impacted. And so when he completes a deal, they go and tally up all the lives impacted by the deal, which includes, you know, the seller, their family, their kids, the wholesaler that sold it, the fix and flipper that bought it, the contractor, and he goes and tracks that. And he's like, this is a KPI we want to track in our company.
That's cool.
And he's like, we're up to this number. I can't remember what it was. It's like, 30,000 lives impacted this year.
So cool.
And I think it's such a neat perspective that he holds in his company for it. It shows that his purpose is grander than just simply financial gain.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's get into your favorite quote. I love this quote too. When you read it a few months ago and I became aware of it, I was like, man, this is really good, but I'm going to read it. This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it's my privilege to do for it what I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch, which I have got a hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. I think people get really hung up on that first line, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. People, especially if you're from the Christian faith, you look at that line and, you could almost interpret it wrongly as being godlike. And that's not, I don't take it that way at all. God has given us incredible power. In fact, he even tells us you have dominion over the earth, right? Which means that you have authority. You subdue it. That's what we do when we do things like real estate, right? We build things for others. We fix up a home for another person to be able to live in and provide housing. It's a show of the power that God has given us and granted us to be creative.
Yeah. It's the best quote of all time, I think, is that quote, at least for our community and the collective people in it. I think the best part of it for me is the torch part. And what it does is it shows everybody that I'm not the one that created the fire. I just currently have a hold of it. And it's my job not only to keep it bright, but it's my job to pass it on to the next person. And that means a couple of things to me. It means give credit where credit is due, which is why I always bring up Bethany Willis and Eileen Brown and these women that really changed my life. And I shout their names from the rooftop, because there's been times, think about this. There's been times where you are in such excruciating pain. Maybe it's a headache, a migraine, you got hurt, you got cut, something bad happened. You're just like, I just want this pain to go away. Okay. Now what's funny is you now have to dig deep to remember a time when you felt that way. You know you felt that way before, but you have to now stop and go, when was the last time I felt that way? And it could be Advil that was given to you. It could be stitches. It could be a painkiller. It could be some ointment. It could have been whatever. But in that moment when you don't have that solution, it is the only thing you can focus on is not having that solution. And I have to remind myself every time I read that quote. In fact, right where I do my pull-ups, I'll do my pull-ups today in my home gym. I have that quote printed on the wall right above. So I look at it 20 times in a row. Boom, 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 boom. And it reminds me to pay respect to the person that gave me that Advil, gave me that ointment, gave me the thing that I was lacking that moment. So for us in our community, it would be the option to go create leads, the option to close a deal, the option to understand paperwork, the option to understand exit strategies, the option to manage tenants, to raise capital, have partnerships. All of these things, we forget how valuable they are because somebody already handed the headache medicine to us. And the second that migraine goes away, you forget how bad it was. And so that quote really helps me remind myself that there were moments, and there are moments in my life where I'm stuck, I feel abandoned, and somebody came along and handed the torch to me. And so instead of me just holding on to the torch and going, oh, look at me, I got the torch, my job is to burn it as bright as possible, pass it on to the next person that's sitting there going, I have no options. I have no pathway forward. I have no friends. I have no help. I have no these. And I don't even, like, I'm messaging back with a guy out of Zimbabwe. He just joined Sub 2. young 19-year-old kid. And he said, my country doesn't have the options that your country does. I'm wondering if you have anybody else in the community that is from Zimbabwe. Hmm. And I'm like, wow, you took a leap of faith, didn't you, bro?
No kidding.
Like you don't know that there's anybody. And by the way, the answer is no. There is nobody else from Zimbabwe. He's the first person. 19-year-old kid took a leap of faith. And what he's saying is he's in that moment of, I've got this massive pain in my life where I've got a mom that is working, making beans. My dad died and I've got four siblings and the whole family is relying on me. And I'm in Zimbabwe. Lack of education, lack of health, lack of all sorts of things. He goes, I have internet and I have ambition. Tell me what to do. And now my job is to go, well, I've been burning this torch so brightly for the last several years. I'm happy to pass the fire on to you because one, I know how to get another torch. And two, it is my job to pass it forward. So my favorite part of that quote, even though the whole quote, line after line after line is a banger, every single line, and you could dissect that thing for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. My favorite part is the torch part and reminding ourselves that it's our job to pass that fire forward.
Yeah. I look at my own family history. You know, my great grandparents were immigrants from Italy. They came from Sicily, came off the boat, poor as you can be. And my grandpa was born, I don't know, about a few months after they got there. My great-grandparents, you know, struggled. My great-grandpa was an abusive man. He beat his kids. He was a horrible person. And my grandpa, he changed the trajectory of his family with his attitude. And he adopted the full middle-class lifestyle. You know, they built their own home. But he had to build it from ground up. And he treated his kids, you know, appropriately and didn't abuse them, right? My dad took that the next step. He was a pastor. He was just a good man, you know, and spent time investing in us in ways that I think a lot of fathers don't. It was all intellectual, though, and he didn't understand how to build a business or anything like that. And so was not financially, you know, affluent. And now it comes to me. And I've been gifted, you know, a non-abusive home and a father who actually was there day in and day out for me and taught me things like integrity and uprightness and doing the right thing. And so I look at my daughter, she's sitting right over there. And I think to myself, all right, I got to push this one step further for my daughter, or even 20 steps further. And create something so big that others come along with it. That's why I love your story. And I love what a lot of people said in that video is that they get to ride the wake with you because you thought of something so big. And even though you doubted it, somebody was there to go and push you forward to keep rolling on it. And so to a certain extent, I'm kind of riding that wake too. And hopefully we get to build something so great that my daughter doesn't need to start from square one.
Right.
You know? Everybody in my family for generations has started at square one, zero, to figure out where to begin, you know?
And they spend the first 10 years trying to find the answer instead of living, you know, the cool thing is you provide options for your daughter. It's not that you know, just knowing you, you're not going to say, hey, daughter, you don't have to work because our family has enough money. You're going to say, no, you are working,
right?
But you get to apply your personality to what path that you think is appropriate because I've created these pathways for you that were not options for me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you one last question and then we'll close. How would you advise others to determine if their purpose and their goal is really strong enough to overcome those inevitable challenges and costs that real estate investing will bring to them? It's a hard question, I know, but,
My perspective is a little bit brutal and aggressive. And so some people should take this opinion as that, as an opinion. My opinion is that most people just don't work that hard. And what do I mean by that? I mean that as you work hard, you find new solutions that you did not know were there 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago. I mean, Justin, you've seen this obviously in your growth is you go, oh, I'm going to do this path. And because you follow that path, I'll give a good example. Okay. Let's say that I'm climbing up a mountain. I'm climbing up a mountain and there's like 17 little pathways that I should choose. Well, here's the thing that's funny. It's me and my friend, and we're standing there and we go, hey, let's have a race, right? Let's have a race to see who can get to the top. I'm going to pick a path. You're going to pick a path, and I'll see you at the top. Okay. Well, I start running up my path and it's going left and right and left and right and up and down and left and right. And I get to a point where I'm maybe like 500 feet up the mountain and I stop to catch my breath. I turn around and I look down at all the pathways I could have chosen because now I can see exactly where they lead because I'm high enough up the mountain. Well, guess what? I could not have known that unless I had gone and chosen any path. Now you think, okay, well, what path did your friend choose? My friend didn't choose a path because he was stuck overthinking and he's still at the trailhead. So even though my path might have been a longer one, at least I'm up at a higher point where I can make better decisions and I can choose to walk over to a different path or even heck, go back, start from square one and then choose the path that I now could see from a different angle. The point is, as you can already get the point, there's a lot of people that are just stuck at the trailhead, not doing anything. And I would argue that it's better for you to choose the wrong path for 3 or 4 months to acquire skills of consistency, acquire skills of networking, acquire skills of learning and being passionate about whatever it is that you're doing to get a different vantage point, different resources, different relationships, and different skills that you can now go, I know who I am now, and I know what path I should have taken. And I don't look at that as a lost endeavor. And so what a lot of people do is they look at that as a lost endeavor, like, oh, what a waste of time this last 6 months has been. I thought I was going to do short-term rentals or midterm rentals, but now I realize I just want to do fix and flip. It's like, yeah, but the certainty in which you came to that conclusion came from the fact that you went down the wrong path, which ultimately was the right path that got you to the next step. And so I just see a lot of people stuck looking at 17 different trailheads going, which one's perfect for me? Any of them. Because it's not about the path. It's about what you learn and the muscles you gain and the panting and the heavy breathing you have to go through to ultimately get a different vantage point.
Yeah. Ace, thank you so much for joining us today and for dreaming so big that we do get a chance to ride that wake. And I hope I get to create a wake that just expands on
you. You are, bro. You are. And you know, you look at people on this video that are thanking you that you created this. I mean, look what you're doing, man. You're reinvesting and you're making the torch bright, you know, burn as bright as possible. And as you gain more skills and understanding and branding and all these things for yourself, you'll have the ability to have a different platform at a higher level that you'll go, all of the things I did in 2013 or 2023, 2024, put me in the position that I'm in now. And I can't wait to watch your journey, bro. You've given me a good show to watch. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd love to hear your feedback in the comments below. Also, let us know who you'd like to see as a guest on future episodes of Nursing Real Wealth. Join us every other Tuesday for more insightful discussions. Have a great day.